Hello and welcome to Schizophrenic Music, a podcast devoted to diversity in music. Welcome today.
Amen.
All about diversity in music. And I know Craig and I'm here, of course, with Craig, and we're just kind of talking, just throwing out some topics. We're just waxing philosophical about all things music and just some different topics and just kind of different things we've talked about on discussion boards this week, and gonna let it go for a little bit. Craig, what do you have on your mind?
Well, the first thing on my mind is when I talk about compartmentalization of music, I don't think it just ends at the style of music or the genre. I think it goes to the era as well. And it goes both ways, but I know a lot of people in our age range that are like, man, anything past like 1980, and right. they discredit it, you know. For one, the 80s is, we've said this for the longest time, it's such an overly maligned era of music, and it's so, a lot of that, it goes back to, and I'm waffling back and forth here, a lot of that goes back to the aesthetic of things too, but just in general, I feel like if we just stripped the date away from when an album is released and just let people listen to that, just listen to this album and not put a date on it, I think people would be a little bit more open to it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. Of course, people are always going to talk about things that they know well or can be nostalgic about and things like that.
Yep.
But it's kind of like a lot of times people are just like, I don't want to say drawing a line or just totally cutting off. You mentioned like cutting up 1980, but there's a lot of stuff that we're just going back, you know, going archival and like, man, just listen to this or throw something new, or it doesn't even have to be new. And I don't care. And I know we did the whole new music thing, and we're totally not just like new music, new music, new music.
Nope.
Because I've discovered all kinds of stuff in this last year that's old music, but it's new to me, you know, or just diving into something different. But I think a lot of times we're, like you say, compartmentalizing either the genre, which we do all the time, and I try not to do, but then we describe something, I end up compartmentalizing again. But then, you're saying, the year happens a lot where it's like, people aren't, I don't know if they're not open to it. They're just not, I don't know.
Sometimes you got to be open to it. And
right,
we've talked about having time and, you know, if you only have a certain amount of time, go to what you know. I get that. But I feel like jazz is a prime example of a genre. And I would even say this about R&B, but especially a genre like jazz, to where it's like past a certain time frame. You know, maybe I was guilty of this when I first got into it because I stuck with really, you know, 50s and 60s for me. So once you get outside of 60s and get into the 70s, and then things started to shape in towards fusion and a little bit, just stylistically, things were changing. And I think some people don't even consider anything past a certain time frame, and are, you know, soul, R&B, like the heyday of, you know, 63, 64 to 66, 67. I get it. That's one of the pinnacle. We can attest that there is some of the best R&B and soul being released now. There's been some fantastic soul being released now. So I think too, it's almost like even putting an album cover might steer you in the wrong direction. You know, you might see something and go, nope, I don't know about this.
Right.
And if you listen to it, you're like, whoa, all right, this is really good. And when was this released? No way this was just released last week, because this sounds like,
we just did that. Like we mentioned, there's an album that was just released, and the cover kind of like, it doesn't look like something I'm going to like.
Yep.
But then you listen to it and it was a tremendous album, right?
Yep.
I don't know what I thought before listening to it, but it sounded different than what I thought. Right. So, I mean,
yeah, same here. And you know, not to throw out names, but sometimes that can taint you a little bit. I go back to like the 80s, and that being one of those genres that are eras of music that just people see it for that over the top new wave synth, the band I think of that epitomized it was Flock of Seagulls, right? With just the crazy hair and the, well, have you listened to us Flock of Seagulls albums? Cause those really freaking good. They were a really good band, by the way. So getting past the whole aesthetics of things, sometimes if you just say, this is what I'm listening to, no album art, no year, check it out. Here's a couple of recommendations. If you like the following artist, then we think you'll like this. And not that anybody's necessarily guilty of it. It's just what people talk about. And not to get off on a tangent of anything, I think what, and this is one reason why I started this back on Tuesday, and Kevin mentioned it today about, you know, diversity in music and adding our tagline to the intro. We just want there to be an openness in general about music, regardless of style, era, where it's from. Kevin Kevin will be the first one to tell you, don't have to come from America.
Right.
There's some great music outside of the United States and the UK, outside of the UK too.
Right.
Those are the two. So that's just it. I want the narrative in general about music for people our age, at least, to change a little bit and to open up, especially now. If you think about how easy it is to check this stuff out.
Oh, yeah. We had to go out and it wasn't accessible like that. You know, we had to go out and buy it or wait until it came on the radio. And that wasn't just, you know, that wasn't like this. You want any genre or any country or anything like that right now, you could just go and explore.
We loved the dive. We loved the crate dig, as they call, and find the stuff. But it is so easy to check stuff out now. I mean, it's like if somebody would have come to you in 1993 and said, hey, Kevin, check out this band called Ominous. You're like, cool, where do I get it? Good luck.
Good luck.
Good luck finding Ominous anywhere, because that shit was not available. And so I think about it now and it's like, that's pretty cool that somebody can just send you a link. Here you go. Check it out.
Yep.
Damn. That's pretty cool. So there's very little effort involved in that. It's, oh, cool. You did all the work. Here we go. All I got to do is click and listen.
Right.
And a lot of this is coming. Yeah, Kevin and I, what we're trying to do is to get inspired by our listeners, our followers, and the people like us that are open to different types of music. And a lot of that's really coming from this Facebook group has been great. And so when we opened up the conversation about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees, a lot came out of that. It could have gone a little bit deeper. I'm surprised people weren't, there wasn't as much vitriol to it as I thought there would be.
There wasn't.
I figured people would be a little bit more divisive with it. I don't know how you feel.
People were very, there were some opinions, I thought, but then people didn't expand. I don't think too much.
Right.
That's one of those topics that it seems to always, it's always kind of divisive and one of those, I'm right, you're wrong, and this is that. And people have, no one's ever just said, oh, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, that's great. Great list of nominees. I agree with everything they said. That's wonderful. That doesn't usually happen that way. There's people hold things, they have strong opinions or take things personally. If it's like, a lot of times it's your band, is it there or not there? And, oh, they don't deserve this. And so it's always good for conversation, but it didn't go that, no one was really fighting that much, which, not that I was trying to do that, but I thought there'd be some stronger things going on. But anyways,
I like the discussion. I agree. I can't, somebody had posted, you know, it has no control or has no effect on me one way or the other. It doesn't. I could really care less, but I like the conversation.
Right.
And I like to engage in it. And this is my first comment was like, I think if we just stopped compartmentalizing, we'd be a lot happier.
Right.
But then when you start talking about, and I'd be curious to get your take on this too, but I heard a lot about influence.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't hear a lot terminology wise reference was impact. So, well, this band influenced so many other bands and shaped a genre. Right. And I feel like that's more impact than it is influence. It's influence for sure, But I feel like you as a band today can have as much influence, if maybe not have as much impact, because music is just different now. Genres are different now. Movements are different right now. We haven't had a wave, like a huge wave of music in years, because now we talk about subgenres and subgenre of a subgenre. There's so many small little pockets of music.
Right.
It's hard to really have full impact like you used to in the 60s and 70s and even in the 80s, you know?
Right. And it's just like we've talked, like the movements or the things that, just because everything is so accessible as it is, I think is a big part of it, where you're not having the,
yep,
the regional movement things going on. You know, there would today, would there be a Haight-Ashbury scene? Would that happen? Or people would just be downloading it and listening to it all over the place, and it wouldn't like grow like it did. Or, you know, we talk about, of course, grunge. You know, you're going to have, you don't have those cities that just all of a sudden, you still have music cities that are blossoming, like great bands and things like that. But
sure,
you know, someone mentioned, talked about Minneapolis had a great music scene. Yes, it's still a great music town, but it's not churning out bands like it did in the 90s or whatever, or that type of thing. You know, it's not the same. It's more universal or worldwide or whatever. I don't know.
I think that especially goes for the smaller towns like Athens.
Right.
Or not that Minneapolis is small by any stretch, but
right.
I look at areas like Portland. I think if there's a draw there, there's a draw, and Portland will always be a draw. Athens is still a draw. It's a different, yes, very different town than it was in the 70s and 80s for sure. And it doesn't have that level of influence because it wasn't, like you said, things aren't as regionalized. Then there's areas like LA that LA's always just going to be a magnet, because
right,
that's really what LA is all about. It's all about entertainment.
And right.
So yeah, you're not going to have that type of scene that, but I just think now with the way music is presented, mm-hmm, and the way people listen to music, it's just a far different dynamic than it was even as far as 15, 20 years ago, really.
And I think that's what you talked, when you talk about like impact and influence, it's like how you look at it too. Things aren't happening in the same way. Like, mm-hmm, we talk about influence, like a band like the Beatles, they influence everybody, but you can't just take, or the impact, they can't just take, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame would be, there'd be nobody in it if we just go back to the core,
exactly,
handful of bands that were influential or whatever. You know, you just put like the main guy or main band in each scene or whatever, and then you're good. Then, you know, we're done.
Right.
And then there's those arguments. You know, most of the argument is like, well, this, you know, that's what I think a lot of people have problems with too, with the Hall of Fame is, there's no rhyme or reason why one person's in or one band's in and the other isn't, one artist is, and what, like, is it right, influence, or is it popularity? Is it, they look at somebody that's in there, like they only have one song, or people don't even know who they are. But then you see all the bands that said they were, you know, influenced by them, that type of thing. Yep. Or you get like somebody that's got tons and tons of hits, but they're not in, you know, it's like, what's the, you know, where do you draw the, what makes somebody worthy? And I think that's why, and people have their, and I think people have their favorites, and that's why they get behind. And it's like, like I said, I think it was Brian or whatever that said that this doesn't influence my listening habits. Like, I don't watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and go, ooh, now I'm going to listen to the Eurythmics because now they're worthy or whatever, you know, it's
right,
nothing like that. But there's certain bands that, not for me, you know, for me, because I like them, but it's like I feel they're worthy and they should be, I want them to be acknowledged, you know, I want them to be,
yep,
be recognized or whatever, like whatever, just like the, you know, baseball Hall of Fame or football or whatever, you know, you want the ones to be that, right, like, hey, you reach the whatever, not that that's the pinnacle, like every band is hoping to be a Hall of Fame member or they're not successful. No, it's more, you know, it's not like that, but
right. A lot of people have referenced the whole baseball Hall of Fame thing and they go, oh, it's a sham too, but at least there's a template. There's criteria, right, that you must adhere to get to even be nominated. It is so subjective with music. And I don't want to get off on a tangent of, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall, because it was just more of what came out of that discussion. And what made it interesting to me was just the difference between influence and impact. Because I do think you can have both.
Right.
But I feel like influence, sometimes it's really hard to tell influence a band has on, or if it stems back to the original. Because if you really want to go back, I mean, then it goes back to Mahalia Jackson and Robert right. Johnson. I mean, it goes well before the Beatles, right?
Right. So,
but there's a ton of bands that were influenced by the Beatles that they influenced a band, and then they influenced a band, and then that band's influence has carried on for the last 20 years. So
exactly.
where does it begin and where does it end? I don't know. I don't really think it matters. I just think I think there are a lot of artists now that have been doing it for 30, 40 years that should be acknowledged.
Right.
Just because they keep going. I mean, you know, you can call that perseverance, resilience, stupidity.
Right. Some of them,
I don't know. But there's a lot of really good bands now that have been going since the 70s and 80s and just keep trucking, you know?
Yep.
I think that in itself should be acknowledged. It doesn't necessarily mean they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but, you know, some level of acknowledgement. I think sometimes being nominated can be enough. Because right. at least you're in the conversation. At least you're being considered. It may piss some people off, but.
Right. I felt like I was defending the Hall of Fame most of the time. And some of the comments this last week, I'm like, man, that is so not me, because I've always right. railed against the Hall of Fame, but yeah. I'm understanding certain things about it. Or maybe I've just grown and I'm not mad about things. Cause I always said there were like two artists that I wasn't even going to go. I still haven't been. I wasn't going to give them the time of day until they inducted these two artists that needed to be there. And that's been done. Maybe I'm good, but I was going to put my foot down. But yeah, it's just like, I never took it seriously, but now they're like, oh, okay. It is what it is, not changing anything, but I still want certain people to be in there. And it's kind of certain things. Like I said, my main problem is like who's not in rather than who's in. Like, I don't say, oh, they don't deserve it. Like everyone that's in there probably deserves it some way or another, because hell, they're in there for a reason. But it's like, I just want some people that have been, you know, some of the snubs that have happened. And so anyways, but it's fun. It's just fun discussion.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, put it up there with like list. It's all subjective.
Oh, yeah. And
so, you know, what's popular to you might not be popular with other people. So I don't know. That's the popularity's never been a thing that's been a criteria for us by any stretch.
Right.
Hence why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything to me. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that was on my mind. I don't know. A ton of stuff happening over this past couple of weeks, listening to a lot of different types of music, going back to my shuffle and just kind of spicing things up. And then other people have posted in the group, which is nice, of stuff that I haven't listened to. So that's nice. What about you?
I've used some of the, and we always do, you know, it's a fun thing that we do. We do the album of the day or the cassette of the day. Obviously the cassette's always going to come from it was purchased within a 10-year window there.
Yep.
I'm not buying them still. No, but so that's always going to be back there. But I've listened to things because of that I haven't listened to in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also used like the people's recommendations or just throwing things out there like, oh, okay. I haven't heard I don't know. You posted Mott the Hoople. I'm like, I haven't listened to that album in a while. Let me pull that out. Or then I've kind of gone. Then you go down there little rabbit holes and things like that as far as. You know, if you like this band, you might also like this one. Or there's been a couple people that have posted some albums that they listened to. I'm like, all right,
nice.
I'll give it a shot. So it's been some good stuff like that.
I don't know. How did we get to Twin Peaks? Because you had me listening to that Twin Peaks soundtrack the other day. And I'm like, man, why have I never listened to this? This is great.
What? How did I even get there?
It came from somewhere. I was like, man, I need to throw that. I can't remember.
Oh, I know what it was. You played the Fruit Bats dude pulling his album, What's in the Bag, and he had a Julie Cruz album.
Yep.
And he said Julie Cruz also did a lot of stuff with David Lynch and whatnot. And I'm like, I said Angela Badalamenti, who did the music for Twin Peaks. And I used to listen to that album all the time, like just chilling at night or even going to bed, I would play that. And Julie Cruz is like on three songs on there. So I'm like,
yep,
I love that album. So I haven't listened to that in a while. And the next thing, I was listening to Twin Peaks, and then kind of took me down a soundtrack / ambient type of road for a little while. So it's funny how that morning waking up, I never said, yeah, I'm going to pull out Twin Peaks, but then something happened and then boom, I'm listening to, you know, you go down that road and next thing you know, I'm listening to Close Encounters of the Third Kind. So I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it's funny how you get there, because that whole, and there's several of them, even if it's an artist that I don't even know, or I'm not even, you know, familiar with, or maybe not even fond of, that came from Amoeba does this whole thing called What's in Your Bag. And so they'll have an artist, and one of the guys from King Gizzard was on there one time. I think Ty Segall's been on there a couple of times. It's really cool. And so it gives you a little insight to the mind of like, God, who would have, going back to the whole influence thing, who would have known that some of this Brazilian, I can't even remember what.
Right. He was like a Nonesuch collector, Nonesuch gold series, some series, you know, like, you know, Brazilian guitar playing. I'm like, okay. Or
yeah,
Brazilian drum. I don't know. It was like, okay, cool.
And then follow that up with country funk, which I was able to find that digitally. I was like, I don't listen to this. Awesome. And then goes into, you know, Julie Cruz. I'm like, God, I haven't listened to Julie Cruz in forever. Then mentions a new artist that I need to check out. So I love that kind of stuff, because that's kind of how, I mean, obviously a lot of these artists are equally as schizophrenic, if not more than we are.
Exactly.
So I love going down that rabbit hole. But then you mentioned Twin Peaks, and I'm like, God, that's something. I probably handled that CD a couple hundred times over my lifetime in different stores. I've never listened to it. I dug the hell out of it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. So it's just fun. Like that's how you get, that's the fun way of getting turned on to something, or getting like, or I love seeing artists that you listen to, or it used to be like looking at the tapes, you know, look at the album, looking at the liner notes, right. And seeing who they thanked. And I've so many bands like, ooh, so now like things like that are cool. Like, he likes them. Okay.
Right.
All right. Let me give it a listen. So that, you know, it's just like, it makes you, kind of gives you an insight. It gives you a little window at somebody else was thinking. It's kind of, all right, cool.
Nice. You had something happen. We were talking, prior to hitting record, and I thought this was something like, man, you should talk about that on the podcast. Like, that's just a work scenario. So kind of,
You never know who you're talking to or what you're doing. I was on a call waiting for a client to join a call, and we're sitting around the team of people sitting around, and someone mentioned like hold music. We should have hold music while we're sitting here waiting. And someone said, oh, this, what's Alexa, play my favorite music. And then it triggered another person's Alexa that was on the call to start playing stuff. He goes, oh, I started playing Queensryche. I'm like, I'll be darned, Queensryche. You know, just like person never had it, and like know the person okay, just from work and things like that. I'm like, well, that makes me, now it piqued my interest now, like, what Queensryche? And I was like, oh, if he likes Queensryche, well, who else does he like? And, you know, so obviously we didn't go down that big discussion on the call because other people were hanging out, but I'm like, okay, I'm going to circle back around and say, hey, you were listening to Queensryche the other day, because you never know what somebody's what type of music they listen to. And it's why I'm always fun to see something that piques my interest.
So this is somebody you could circle back and follow up and say, I know what you listen to now.
Yeah, I could probably do that. It'd be interesting how to approach, like, oh, by the way, what do you, so I'll somehow dig into his musical mind a little bit and see what happens.
It's so tricky with, it depends on where you work or who you work around, to how that scenario even pops into the equation. But working in music stores, I do like surprises. I'm not sure what this person's like, or if it was a surprise just because it's like, I don't, you know, metal, it's hard to tell who likes metal.
Right.
I learned that years ago, but I remember being probably the most surprised. And the first time I met him, he was a super nice guy, but I think he was either an attorney or he was high up the food chain of whatever company he was with and always wore a suit. He brings up the CD and I'm like, I can't even tell you the name of the band, but you knew just from the album art. It's like, oh, this is straight up death metal. This is, this is not the kind, this is heavier than Lamb of God.
Right.
Really, really heavy. And he loved Lamb of God. And so I was like, oh man. He goes, I know, I get that a lot. He goes, and I'm like, that's so cool, man. I go, this shit's heavier than I could listen to. And he goes, I just grew up, you know, it appealed to me first with the early, you know, thrash metal. And then I got from thrash metal to death metal. I'm like, I thought, man, that's too cool. So never
know. Out. But that's what's beautiful about diversity, right? We can all listen to all kinds of different stuff. So it's fun to see somebody that pops out as something you didn't expect.
Yep.
So love Absolutely. To see it.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining in this week. Talked last week about Patreon. So I want to give you a little bit of an update on that. So we have officially archived, or basically season 1 and 2 of our podcast now is only available if you are a subscriber through Patreon. But that's going to take me a little bit of time to get these episodes into Patreon. I just realized they literally have to be loaded one by one, which I'm a little surprised that that's the case. But anyway, so I've got the first 20 episodes currently loaded. If you subscribe in this interim while they're not loaded, let us know. We'll get you some free merch. We'll hook you up. But so we're in the process of getting all that stuff loaded into Patreon. But so we would certainly appreciate that support. But regardless, well, thank you for listening in. And
visit us on all kinds of social media outlets. Of course, we have the Facebook discussion group. Post whatever you're feeling, thinking, listening to. We got a lot of topics going on. Jump in whatever topic tickles your fancy and let us know what's up. Of course, we also have Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
If we're posting on there, let us know what you think. Give us a like, follow, review. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. Well, cool. Well, thanks as always. And until next time.
Take it easy.
Take care.